Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. And this is an opportunity for you to come and have a spiritual conversation with me and usually my special guest. And I am delighted to have on the show today my mother, Bonnie White.
Thank you for being on the show, Mom.
Thank you. I love it.
It's always great to have her here. She is a wealth of information. For those of you who don't know who Bonnie White is, she is a registered medium here at Lilydale and a spirit artist and a professional artist in her own right. And of course, she is an amazing resource when it comes to spiritual teaching and that which is understanding the etheric, absolutely the etheric celestial level. And she's going to bring a really wonderful dose of that today to our show. Our title today is The Spiritual Alchemy of Love, and it's needed more than ever, knowing how to alchemize things. Now, for those of you who are just joining me for the first time, this is a show, like I said, that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. on my Facebook page, which is Willa White Medium. So you can like and share and follow and, you know the different events that are coming forward and the different topics that I care, cover every week. I do want to mention that this also goes out on Lilydale Blog Talk Radio most Wednesdays. It can also, but that's a listen-only format, and it's part of the Lilydale Blog Talk Radio, I call it a family, in the sense that there are other mediums that have shows as part of the Lilydale Blog Talk Radio. So you can tune in. They've added some new shows, so I'm not quite sure of all the dates and times and everything, but the four standbys, the originals, are my show on Wednesday mornings. Wednesday evening, we have John White, no relation. Thursday morning, we have Celeste Elliott, and Tuesday evenings, we have Colleen Vanderseiden. And once I get an update about who has the other shows and what days they're on, I can certainly let you know that as well. And everybody has a different style, a different kind of intelligence and understanding to spiritual topics that they bring on their shows. So on mine, we focus on a topic related to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And as I said, today's show will be The Spiritual Alchemy of Love. I do want to mention before we get into the topic that my mother, Bonnie White, and I are going to be offering an online class, and that's through the Zoom format. And it's happening next Monday, which is October 26th. It's an evening class. It's 2 hours long. And it's the topic is stone people, speaking with stones. So let's just tell them a little bit about that, the sense that there are stone people that cultures do refer lovingly to the stone people, and that we'll have an opportunity for you to understand a bit about the imagery that's on a stone, mm-hmm. how to connect with the essence of that particular stone kingdom, as it were.
That's right. It's so fascinating to even think about stones. I've never seen a child who didn't love to pick up a stone and hold it and pocket it and take it home and talk to it. And it is so interesting. Sometimes we forget that time of our lives when we were little and just purely interested in what we're finding. But as we get older, we start to see some more things in the stones. And as we study the spiritual nature, we discover more of a spiritual nature that comes through stones. So we're going to talk about all those things. And there are messages that stones contain. So we'll get into that too.
Yes.
And it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's a good way to get grounded, centered, and to receive spiritual messages for yourself and to have another layer of understanding of connection with the divine, you know, the God principle that is present. And I'm really excited to be able to offer that to all of you. You can sign up. I do have it posted on Facebook here and also on my website, willowwhite.com/class purchase page. And you can register for the class. We are getting the option of a video access to it. So if you can't make it that particular evening, I am videoing the event as I have done with past classes I'm offering online through Zoom. So you'll be able to catch up with us and enjoy connecting with the stone people. I do suggest that you choose this stone in advance and email me a photo of the stone, because my mother and I are going to be looking through those photos and then using them as examples in the class. So that's available for registered students only. Okay, great. So again, that's Monday, October 26th. So hi, everyone who's joining me. So today, as I said, we have my mother, Bonnie White, here, and we're going to be talking about the spiritual alchemy of love. We've got a lot to cover in that particular topic. And that's especially needed in this day and age. You know, when we go through difficulties within ourselves or with other people, that's something that we need to know how to bring those spiritual principles to life in our lives.
That's right. Now, we chose the title Spiritual Alchemy. It's a little different than just using alchemy as a word.
Yes.
In the Middle Ages, they
were talking about alchemizing things to make gold.
Trying to take some kind of matter and make gold out of it. So they were using the physical matter. But in spiritual alchemy, we're using the spiritual matter. We're using the etheric, the astral, the mental, the higher consciousness, all those things. And I think from a very early age, I have always defined God as God is love. So the highest divine power that you can reach through your own being. You can reach through your own being. And the higher you reach for that, and the more realizations you have, the more you begin to qualify your own energy and requalify your own energy. So the things that you thought before might start being dissolved as you get to a higher nature and understanding of the divine. So that is what I consider the alchemy, the change that comes about when you focus with all of your being lined up. A lot of times we can get there through meditation. Sometimes we can get there suddenly. We can see something and suddenly we're in that space where we're seeing things new, things we hadn't noticed before. So we're all called to look up to the divine. Everybody has a divine aspect. Let's start there. Everybody has a soul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mediums, spiritual mediums, really have an advantage because we have worked so much with the idea that even though we call it death, the transition that happens when people pass over to the other side, they leave their material body. And when they're on the other side, they can still make contact. I mean, there's no doubt. We do this every day. We make contact with people we haven't ever met that mm-hmm. come to us, and they want to hear from those in spirit. And there's no doubt, absolutely no doubt, about the afterlife for mediums.
That's right.
And if you want to study mediumship, you will develop that total trust in the afterlife and the being that you can contact, the beings that you can contact, the higher registration of beings. You know, and I often think about the heaven world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do take some of our personality, but as they get over there, they start to get refined.
Mm-hmm.
They come through because they love the people here. They come through because they want to help the people here. And they have messages of love. I mean, it's just what it is. Sometimes they have messages of apology because they feel like they weren't loving.
That's right.
They suddenly know more about love when they get over there. A lot of times they change quite a bit.
It shows that we can learn more about love.
Yes.
In the here and in the hereafter.
And I was just reading recently about the concept of rolling the stone away from, I guess, the sepulcher, which could be defined as rolling the stone away from your senses. We all have senses we use. We use our eyes and our ears and our taste, all those senses. But there are inner senses we have. And as those, the matter of the world seems to clog our senses a great deal. And so to requalify the energy and get at the divine and get at the divine love and ask for healing and ask for understanding and enlightenment, you know?
Yes.
It's so important that we know that heaven has certain things settled. All the things that we associate frequently with the Ten Commandments. There's no murder in heaven, for instance. You can't murder. It doesn't exist there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like there are so many, there's this anger issue. There's resentments, there's jealousies. There are all those things, and they're so prevalent here. I mean, you know, just look at any newspaper, any thing you see on the checkout as you go through the checkout. You know, you see the world is very much into a lot of storm and drang, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, the drama.
The drama of life.
Drama.
But when your senses become attuned to the higher planes, it really changes you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, that transformative power of the soul.
That's right.
Through love.
That's right.
And then that alchemizes you and changes you. It can change you on a love level, a spiritual dimension, and it can alter you chemically, your physical body, to be
alter your health
and alter your health ultimately,
mm-hmm.
and can affect spiritual healing.
That's right.
In those ways, so there are many uses to knowing how to alchemize yourself,
mm-hmm.
and to transform and into spiritual love, that language of the soul.
That's right.
And so we have that opportunity to do that. We're going to talk about that today, the aspects of alchemizing, of transforming things into a loving concept.
Right. Now, it's interesting. That reminds me right away, maybe I'm saying this too soon, but you know, the thing we all know, love your neighbor as yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you think it's bringing them a pie or something. I don't know.
It has its uses. I like pie.
But to love your neighbor as yourself, you have to know yourself and love yourself. You can't actually love your neighbor without loving yourself and being in that space where there is a knowledge of your self, even while it's here in the body, you can still see yourself as that invisible one. I don't know how to say that exactly, but there's an invisible person within us that is tuned in.
It's not visible normally with the physical eyes, but spiritual eyes.
That's
you
right.
can sense that.
That's right.
The invisible becomes visible.
That's right. And here's an example of the visible being invisible, actually, because my husband has always had a beard. We've been married 58 years. Always had it. I guess a couple times he shaved it.
Yeah.
But I'm so used to seeing men with beards. Yeah. I'm so used to it. And I'll meet somebody and you'll say, what was this guy's name or something? And then somebody will say, did he have a beard? And I'll say, I don't know if he did or not. Because I have stopped seeing beards. I go directly to the person.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's kind of interesting because then I feel bad because I didn't notice, you know?
Yeah.
And all the different kind of shapes of beards and everything. But I don't notice.
And that's what happens. Like, I don't always see a person.
No.
Because I'm busy seeing the soul.
Me too.
And so it's very tricky because there is that element to, okay, now I've got to formulate and try to remember.
What do they actually look like rather than...
Because you can see the radiance of a soul. You can see where they are sometimes that respect. And there are components that just didn't filter into your consciousness.
That's right. And sometimes when you do know somebody on that level, even if it's a small child, and then you see a grown-up, and you instantly know who that is. And the other people say, how did you know that? I don't know. I just knew, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes the person says, I just know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not intuition. It's because you're seeing on another plane. And when those, get back to the stone being rolled away, you know, the skull is sometimes considered a cave.
Mm.
And we have a lot of our senses in our head,
mm-hmm.
you know, and of course our brains are too. But to have the matter part of life, the part that we see all around us, the outside part, we don't see, for instance, the inside of the stone or the message. We'll talk about that next week. So it's like there's something about having that kind of dissolved. It doesn't mean that the world actually goes away, but it means that the seeing part, the love part, the part that makes you empathetic with the person, the part that knows more about them sometimes than they know about themselves, is normally invisible.
Yes.
But it does become visible. And that's the self that you'd have to say, the self with a capital S.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the higher self.
Right.
And that self is so informative and so present and so beautiful because, take the neighbor, okay? If you're having difficulty with your neighbor, apparently, if you begin to see and only talk to your neighbor's soul, and your neighbor means anybody.
Yes.
Anybody.
Not
you meet.
Someone who happens to live in the next house from
right.
you. This is about, the neighbors
neighbor.
Of your world, like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we all know about Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
We do, yeah.
Anyway, so it's like if you begin to see that person in the fact that he has a soul and he has whatever it is, you don't have to convince him he has a soul.
Right. That's not your job to convert anybody in their thinking about these
things.
But
when you talk to the people, only talk to their soul. Don't be so concerned about what they're wearing. Unless it's a symbolic thing, you know. But see everything as I'm talking to the person's soul. I want to see them happy. I want to see them at peace. I want to see them healthy. I want to see them smile, you know. There is something about thinking of the person in the highest terms, thinking of the other person as a soul that actually vivifies your own.
Yes, it vivifies your own.
Because you can't actually see it unless you're in your own soul space.
Yeah, because you could, even though there's this part of you that has the judgment of perception in terms mm-hmm. of that person and their belief system and their actions and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the derogatory yeah. statements that could be made about a person. In
right,
the,
or
in
that you might hear.
Or that you might hear from someone else that color your thinking. But there's that level of spiritual discernment that you can enter into.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, we should probably break it down for them a bit more in terms of, you know, if they are having difficulty with their neighbor, in terms of be it a family member
yes.
or a friend or someone mm-hmm. at work or, you know, whoever it may be that you're feeling this disregard with, you
That's
can
right.
move into regard.
That's right.
Spiritual regard.
You can regard their higher self and talk only to it. Not with a reprimand. They're not talking to me, right? Because you're blah, 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 whatever. You don't have to do that. And this is what's really great. You don't have to talk aloud. You can talk with your spiritual self without any sound coming out of your body.
No vocal cords.
No vocal cords involved. So your thoughts toward a person, I want to see them happy. I want to see them considerate of everybody. I want to be considerate of everybody. I want to be happy
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel the joy of connection with people, not the irritation. I don't want to have the irritation be my relationship. So as you get in touch with the divine, there's something that falls down to you from the divine. So as you pray, let's say you say the Lord's Prayer or just a prayer of love and great gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude for the life within. The life within, that's huge. We're living in
the infinite
our,
within
yeah.
us.
And is the infinite is in us.
Mm-hmm.
So we are part of the infinite. We are in the presence of the infinite at all times, but we just don't know it.
So, it can be very difficult if you feel that you're in feeling attacked
mm-hmm.
by another person.
Yeah.
So what do we do then?
You just have to know that your fears and all that, you just have to immediately begin to see the person as a higher being because he or she has the aspect of that already in them. And that soul aspect has been trying to get in touch, really making a stronger connection with them, just as our soul is trying to make a stronger connection. And we have to realize that we are loved. We are loved in an infinite way by the divine. God loves us.
Yes, God loves us. And now, showing that person that you are coming from a spiritual standpoint and hoping that they will, of course, respond in kind.
So
it's not about allowing bad behavior.
No.
You can't, just because you're on a spiritual level of understanding of these things, it doesn't mean that you then allow bad behavior.
No, that's true.
That has to be noted.
I love you, but I'm not going to do what you say.
That's right. I love you.
I love you, but I don't have the same thoughts, but I do love you, and I understand, I'm trying to understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not giving up the love. Not giving up the love. Yeah.
That's right. Not giving up the love is a huge deal.
Not giving up the love of your neighbor.
Yes.
Or of the other person.
Yeah, and because
It's because you have a disagreement.
You have a disagreement in anger about those things, or resentment about those things.
Or vengeful feeling.
To some extent, those are usual.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to say normal. I want to say they can be usual among certain people.
They're a reflex.
A reflex. But what we want to do is what we want to make normal is the response of how we're going to react, respond, spiritually
mm-hmm.
respond.
Spiritual response.
Spiritually response.
And the more you do it, the more comfortable you are doing it too, responding. I mean, it's
whether
really
hard. Whether that neighbor or the person that you have an issue with sees it or not.
Right. If you
at
get,
that time.
If you get a volley of curses.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to respond with love.
Yeah.
You know, it's very difficult.
The vitriol can be so.
That's right. But no. You know, I was doing a meditation one time based on, I can't remember the book, but he was talking about in that meditation about requalifying your energy and you do not send back the energy that you receive, unless it's love. You don't send back the curse.
Yeah, your job is not necessarily to mirror back.
No.
At them.
No, because once you realize, what am I doing?
Right.
I am doing the thing I don't want. Right?
Right.
If you send back, it increases the energy of that.
Right. And that is true because, you know, it's like a whew.
Yeah.
Especially if it's given back in that kind of way of return vengeance.
That's right.
It has a whole nother energetic
component. And it can erupt
component.
Into another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, expand, be more explosive, actually.
Right. So when you want to have a spiritual response of love, is you almost have to take a step back and
have
a measure of compassionate detachment for yourself and for them.
You have to make the connection with the divine very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the divine always says, fear not. For lo, I am with you always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the divine. The fear not is the divine.
Yeah.
That response is the divine response.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wonderful is that it does have an effect on people
mm-hmm.
to let them know. They know within themselves. My goodness, they start to feel within themselves their own soul, their own divinity. So that's the one of the values of practicing spiritual alchemy.
Yeah,
to change that resentment. Somebody X, maybe you do something that you shouldn't have done. You know?
And you don't even know you did it till after.
And then the person equal vengeance or maybe more, you know.
This isn't about upping the ante each time.
No. If you up the ante, you end up closing the door of higher perception,
mm-hmm.
which is definitely what we do not want to do.
Right. And then you get into clashes of culture.
That's right.
You get clashes of personality. That go on. So that's why this show we felt was so important to share with people, because it's really important to know how to go into that spiritual alchemy of love, that the totality of your thoughts in those moments, it matters what you're thinking about your people. So sometimes if you're a parent and you're worried about your child, that fear can really take hold in you so much that even if you're not saying it, on one level, the child feels this and responds in kind in
That's
their
true.
Life.
That's
and
true.
So it's something that it's important that you, as the parent, that you say, I have faith and I trust in their journey, and that you move forward with that mindset.
That's right.
As much as you possibly can to kind of catch your thoughts, to have the self-discipline, the self-mastery in those moments. Because that's what you want your child to have.
And sometimes you just have a feeling something's wrong, you know?
Right.
I remember feeling that way one time. And I mean, it's some feeling I've had regularly. That one time is that. But all of a sudden, I saw all this stuff between me and everything around me. I couldn't appreciate things. I didn't have flavor. Mm. I didn't see color.
And for an artist to not see color.
It's terrible when you're in that state, because you don't know you're not seeing color. You think something's gray, and it's really green. That's happened to me. And it's very disturbing. It affects the way you look at the world to have that feeling. So all of a sudden I realized, when I see a cloud instead of clarity, I have to go right straight to God and get clear. Now, when you're praying, you will discover, and I've read about it, that this is an actual thing. When you're praying and you suddenly have a feeling comes over you of change. It's not just words. It's the meanings that are there, and it's like you really want an opening there. And all of a sudden, you just feel like something has just gone right over you. It relaxes you. It gets you. It's like a rain. It's a rain, and then the sun comes out.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a name for it. It's called that substance that comes from the divine. When you are getting in touch with the divine, that substance is called alkahest.
Alkahest.
A-L-K-A-H-E-S-T. I looked it up because I read it in a book.
Alkahest?
Sorry, I didn't know there was such a thing. On Alchemy Day, right? And so I looked it up, and it is a substance that dissolves anything that is not like itself. Okay, so you go to the divine. What is the divine like? Awesome.
Totally awesome.
It's totally awesome. And this comes over you, and you suddenly realize, my goodness, I'm feeling better. And the substance, actually, you can feel the substance coming over you. That's the amazing thing. It's not just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's the substance that comes over you, and it's called alkahest. And it dissolves resentment, anger, confusion,
pain.
It dissolves pain. Those things are dissolved because of the alkahest of God dissolves the things that are not like itself. And those things that are not like itself get in the way of your communications with the world, not just with even people, with your clothes feeling funny. You know what I mean?
Right, it
dissolves all that. It's like, you know, the things that are so wrong everywhere.
It's a great neutralizer.
We've got to say in God we trust.
We've got to say in God we trust.
That this will be dissolved.
Mm-hmm. Those are important words that the founders put in there. Absolutely.
Yes. Those are the things we know because that's our life.
Yeah.
And so your life gets a little more clear when you do that. So I love that idea. Now, then further than that, now that's a Hindu word, the alkahest.
Which is so close to alkalizing, or, you know, when people want to be more alkaline than acid.
Right. That's true.
So wondering if there's a connection.
Maybe it does help that too. Oh, anyway. Wow. What was I going to tell you?
Oh,
it's all right.
Don't interrupt her.
I just get caught up in the joy of it. Okay. So I'm still there. I'm sorry. Sorry, folks.
You know, I felt alkahest the other day, and I had some dental work done.
Really?
And, you know, dental work is not always easy for
Scary.
A sensitive person. So I did feel that. Of course, I always asked angels to come and to just be in that calming, healing mode with me. And that the angels of the dentist are there.
Yeah.
You know, like really, you know, making sure the spiritual team.
The spiritual team.
Is very much part of that, because that's part of that process of alchemizing that and helping it to be most productive it can be energetically.
That's right.
Through love. And so you have to allow love. And what did the dentist say? Don't worry, God's here.
Did he really?
He did.
Oh, my gosh.
A lot of people thought God.
You know,
you're in the right place when they talk that way.
You were in the right place spiritually.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, then I also found out that the word grace is Elgast. But I never felt grace as a substance. I always thought of it as an idea.
Yeah, a concept.
A concept.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to think, because Elkahest and grace are supposed to be
intertwined.
The mm-hmm. Judeo-Christian uses the term grace.
Yes.
And so they have that in common with the Hindu. And
mm-hmm.
probably all the other scriptures have their word.
Sure.
We don't know what they are, but they have their word. But it's like, all of a sudden, I started seeing grace, and the song Amazing Grace.
Sure.
That's
a transforming power.
Actual. It's a transforming power. And it actually, now when I hear her sung or played, I have that feeling of that Elgast stuff coming and the grace dissolving anger,
mm-hmm.
frustration, irritability,
yeah.
little things. It doesn't have to be a huge, humongous, bomb-throwing thing.
Right.
It can just be
small stuff that sets you off.
That's right.
Yep.
You know? So
it's
interesting to me that the words are there already. And I've got a little reading here. It's, what then is my body, you may ask? I saw that. I said, wow, I have to read the rest of that line.
Absolutely.
It is the representation of the totality of your thoughts and feelings. The mortal body is but a mirror of your mortal beliefs, which tend to obscure the real body. So what is your real body? It's the rest of it. It's the part that lives on. For there is a real body that is divine and immortal. And that is, whosoever can see with his heart, let him behold the truth and believe it. And whosoever seeketh that he may live in the truth, let him listen with his heart. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And when you become aware of that, everything in matter and everything else seems to change, but then you fall out of it again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like
maybe it's interesting, fall out of it, fall from grace.
Fall from grace. That's right. I never thought of that.
Fall
from grace. So we know that we can, if we do fall from grace, we can attain it again.
Yes, we return.
Simply by returning to the divine, which we have a pathway to within.
Mm-hmm.
We have, each one has his own pathway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at some point I was reading that when you behold everybody in this higher state of being, behold all their natures, the kingdom is then filled with a host of angelic beings, which we are. And can you imagine walking around on earth and greeting everybody as an angelic being.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
awesome.
It is awesome to think of.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wonderful is that within you, and it's not egotistical to be this way. It's actually humble because you realize that all of the things you've been striving to be and striving to become, rich and famous and admired, right?
Oh, yeah. People typically, and Mom and I are very much like, let's not be famous. You're lucky we're here.
And we're not above other people.
No.
You know, it's like suddenly you see.
But that's what the people try to strive for.
Yeah, that's what a lot of times you strive for on this earth plane.
Yeah.
You only live once. No, you don't ever die. Excuse me. The whole concept is.
I know.
Is not on the plate anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And there might be only one life,
mm-hmm.
but it is a forever life.
Well, it's interesting because it's bringing to mind, you know, I've met a few people in my life that they, as soon as you meet them, they hug you. They hug you like they mean it. And they are just one big ball of love.
That's right.
And you're thinking, wow, I wonder if I could ever be this ball of love all the time. How is that possible for them? They immediately curl you into them as if they are the mother.
Like, why?
I'm not a great mother. But there's this idea of, you know, they just curl you right
That's
on
right.
in.
That's right.
And that they're, it's almost like they're so glad you're here.
Almost
whoever's
like,
in front of them.
Yeah, it's like you're related and you've never seen them before.
That's right. And who knows if you'll see them again.
I know.
But that's why hugging, that's why Amma, you know, there's that Indian guru,
yes.
Amma, who hugs people.
She hugs everybody.
That's so important for the physicality and for the spiritual nature
mm-hmm.
of merging.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, it can embody prayer.
And this requalifies your whole being, including your body.
Yes. To be in that state of love, to be embraced fully
mm-hmm.
in that love concept
mm-hmm.
where you're just thinking, wow, this is a bit more than you're used to, but it's awesome at the same time.
True.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
So it's important that people never give the aspect of affection up in your life. It's important to have that.
Here's something from the Bhagavad Gita.
All right.
Should I read it?
Sure.
By setting our gaze upward, we transcend the four dimensions. Can we name the four dimensions? Physical, mental, spiritual, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Four dimensions. Okay.
Place then thy heart. This is the quote. Place then thy heart on the divine me alone. In me, let thy faith dwell. Thou shalt hereafter dwell in my divine self. There is no doubt. That's from the Bhagavad Gita. So everybody who practices seeking the pathway to the divine, there are people in probably every religion who discover this same pathway.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so good because just being human, you have it.
Yes.
Just because you're human. And we always think, oh, that's just a human quality. No.
Well, that, you know, I think it's an important aspect of religion. It's a reminder. It's
mm-hmm.
a history keeper of what principles
that's right.
Exist. And that's what's so important. Whether it be spiritualism or another religion, that you do have that as a maintain of truth with a capital T.
That's
we have
right.
to have these kind of spiritual enlightenment focal points that bring a group together in the highest and best good
right.
and a return to divine love.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that we begin to see with our inner eyes hear with our ears. A lot of times we can't hear, even when people are talking to us, we can't hear them.
I'll tell you what I can't hear. When people are loud, I can't hear them. If they're yelling or
yell.
They speak in a very high volume, it's really hard for me to hear them. Does anybody else have that experience? I don't know if it's just because I'm a sensitive or what the deal is, but it's harder to hear.
It is more difficult.
And you think with increased volume, increased understanding, doesn't happen. Not for me.
But all of our, and we call it clairvoyance and clairaudience and clairsentience for the touch.
Yeah.
And people very frequently will feel the touch of a loved one.
Oh, yes.
And it is like that stuff also falling down over them because suddenly,
yes.
Oh, I know they're alive, you know. And this is such a wonderful thing to know that those in spirit, not only are they still living, but they are learning.
So the more, you know, and that leads me to this, the more a person, the client is in a state of love, well, the more medium is in the state of love,
yeah.
And the more the client, the sitter, the receiver of the message is in a state of love, the easier it is for them to then feel the love of their spirit loved one.
Right.
Ta-da!
Yes,
and so you're in that mode, that spiritual alchemized mode of love, and that's where things happen very productively.
Mm-hmm.
Very productively, because you're in the flow of the divine.
I love it. So that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
That's why we were given birth.
Mm-hmm. And even with spiritual healing, which is something that's very normal to us in spiritualism, that understanding of we're allowing the divine energy to course through us to
mm-hmm.
someone else.
Yeah.
And it's that call upon the divine love that makes that possible.
Mm-hmm.
Person feels the love.
Yeah.
Flowing,
that's the basis
the energetic
of, our,
love.
Of our spiritual healing that we do in church.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Because we don't claim to be the healer. The healer is the divine.
Mm-hmm. Capital H healer.
Yes.
Is God.
We are small H healers.
We're small H. We know our status.
Yes, we do. We should do. But and we're grateful. But that's the thing. We're very, really grateful. And
what are some last thoughts you want to share with them about spiritual alchemy of love?
There's also a certain kind of language apparently. Occasionally I've understood foreign languages.
She has. It's been really cool. And
that's weird. I don't know I'm doing it when I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So, but there, sometimes you want to address the free, undisturbed, divine self of the person.
Yes.
You don't want to talk to them because if you do, you slip.
Yeah, you'll mess it up. You'll they'll do their defensive thing and you'll say something in defense again.
Yeah.
And then it just, eesh.
And it says, we are promised to be given the language of the free in light. The escaped are promised to commune with us. Now, in the Hebrew scriptures, the free self is sometimes called the escaped. And we read that he that is escaped shall come near to us to cause us to hear with our ears. He that escapeth in that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. Now that is mediumship.
There we go.
Those are the escaped.
You have to escape that prison that you of perception,
mm-hmm.
I would say. You're escaping a prison of particular perception of yourself and others in the world.
That's right. We are given an inner ear with which to hear the great things of God. That's clairaudience. But it is covered over so thickly by the sounds of human existence that we seldom have the ears clarified sufficiently to hear these healing messages. So it's up to us to seek how to become clear.
Yes.
To become clear, to make the clear connection. The escaped are waiting our silent addresses to their divine self,
mm-hmm.
to their free self, by which the airs are clarified and the inner ear uncovered to hear the divine voice.
That's right.
So that's what our goal is.
Yes. You want to move into that alchemy of love, and your intention matters in those moments.
And
right practice, right intention, it matters in those moments.
And you're using your inner voice and your inner ears to hear, and it's most assuredly going to improve your relationships with your neighbors, even if you live with them, whoever they are.
Fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank for neighbors. So I just love it.
I do too. You've done such a good job of explaining that to them. As always, I feel blessed that she's my mother, and that, you know, she's consistently shared this through the years. You know, you've always been such a wonderful, spiritually centered, grounded person in that regard, and you know, of what divine truth is, and how to live from that space. So I sometimes call her my sainted mother. But I think you guys can see why. So yeah, I grew up in a spiritual garden of sorts because of this. And it's, I think it's important that other people hear these kinds of words. It's why we have to have spiritual conversations and allow that to unfold, and have these kind of old words that are brought into this new world that we have, that we are creating through our love.
That's right.
And the more we get into that spiritual love mindset, the easier this will be. And such an important thing that you said about talking to someone's soul instead of that reactionary self that is just going to keep going and grinding and grinding with those things.
Speaking to the other person's highest self makes that self light. Because the divine self of the other person knows it's being spoken to.
Right. Right.
And that gives something to the person. That's a gift to the person.
It is a gift for the person.
It's not, and it's nothing that you have to worry about giving. It's not like, well, I gave them a gift and they didn't give me a gift. You know, it's like, no.
Right.
Nothing to do with that. It's that there is that wonderful gift that all of us have.
That's right.
And we can share it.
And that's so important. And, now, I know people are curious about what you're reading from. I will tell you this, because I, of course, have been looking over my mother's shoulder when she does read. It's Mystical Teachings by H.B. Jeffrey. But when she reads it, she puts her own spin on it. I will tell you that. She reads directly, but then she also, she puts her own. It's important that when you read devotionals, when you read spiritual words, that you, if you need to replace a word that doesn't quite you feel is attuned to you in that particular moment, that you can replace it with another divine word concept.
That's right.
That's an important.
And sometimes I just say the divine, because this was written, I think, in 1920s. I grew up used to thinking that he was he and she. You know, I didn't worry about it saying, you know, I just grew up, that's the way it is.
That's right.
We're talking about that. So,
yes.
So you can always say the divine instead of.
Right, instead of those things. So don't get too hung up on those. Just get into the essence of the spiritual words, of the spiritual truth that is around you, not just in books, but in conversation and within your own soul. That is so important to alchemizing all of your circumstances that you may feel that you're being confronted with, be they in relationship or work or financially even, you know, and having to deal with anybody.
That's right.
Yeah, that going into that higher divine love state.
Stay with that, because otherwise it's a what you call a diversion.
Yes, and it can be like you're acting out some sort of soap opera play.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
you know, if you watch a lot of movies and TVs and things, there's so much. I mean, it takes a while to be able to watch things like that after you start learning a few things about the spirit life. You think, oh my goodness.
That TV world is not where we want to be living.
No.
We want to be living in the here and the now with our soul.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate you sharing that. Now, I know a lot of you have enjoyed what my mom has had to share. And I just want to say again, how grateful I am that you're on the show today, and that we're really looking forward to the people who will join us on Monday evening, October 26th. We will be doing the Stone People. We'll talk about the messages that stones have for us. I mean, these are ancient beings, ancient connections that really will help to ground and center us in today's world, and perhaps help you develop a bit more of your own clairvoyance, your own clairsentience. To help you intuitively on your journey. Spiritual development is so strong. So, register for the class. As I said, it's Stone People Speaking with Stones, and you can register for that on my website, willowwhite.com/class purchase page, and you will be able to join us. It's going to be a wonderful evening event on Monday, October 26th. And you guys are so lucky I was able to talk Mom into doing it. Because she's wonderful. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us this week on Wednesdays with Willa. We'll see you next week. My guest is Susan Geisman, and she is an evidential medium and spiritual teacher. And we'll be talking about mediumship, of the integrity and the ethics involved with mediumship, and how that's important. The evidence is so important. So thanks for being here today. I'll see you next week, Wednesday. And be well and be full of grace. Bye, everyone.